Yeah, I thought it'd be good to start with automobile order. As we'll finish up the ants tonight. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work. I will pray in the
fire ants. fire ants, but yeah, I sort of, fire ants, I always thought about coming from Africa, you know, with the big mounds. That's what I sort of thought. But I don't really know the true name of them, but I know they're, we usually try to get rid of them if we find. Did you know what kind it was, Justin? The red and black ones, the fuzzy ones. What is it?
He said it's a
caterpillar. Caterpillar. But anyway. Oh, they got a sting to them.
Yeah, they're solitary. The fire ants you described, they more like a colonies.
Yeah. So they're more of a solitary ant. They think there's about 10 quadrillion ants in the world today. They can carry 50 times their own body weight. I was watching it, looking at this picture one night, and there was, it looked like a massive gap, about like a gap, and there was a stick across it, and there was two ants on one side and two ants on the other side. So they had to be going one way or the other, and you just sort of imagine how they would have got or continued to get that across one way or the other. But they would, yeah.
I was thinking about that verse in Proverbs 30, 25, when it says, the ants are a people not strong, and yet they prepare their food in the summer. And so, like you were mentioning there, we know scientifically, per their size, their mass, right, they are strong. In comparison to humans who can smash them, they are not strong in comparison to us, but yes, for what they can do, for their size and their weight, it is amazing.
And if you think about it, when you go out in your yard and just walking, there's no telling how many you'll kill just walking across your yard, and you never think about it. I forgot what I was spraying, doing some spraying this evening. I see an ant hill there on the sidewalk mixed in with the grass. And but when I got to spraying, it was going everywhere. They could communicate through chemicals to alert each other of danger or of a food source. And of course, as we said, you notice them by the small nest that they have, the small brown mounds of dirt that they have. An Asian ant can lift up to 100 times its mass because they're a lot bigger. And an ant, they might be small, but it's their core. Their core to them, their body core, is the strongest thing on them. And that's what makes them so powerful and for their small size. And they don't have lungs. An ant, they breathe through holes that's located on the side of their body. And I can't really show you much on that picture about it, but there's some little tiny holes that they breathe through on the side of the body. And they don't have ears either. They use vibration to hear with. They, through an organ located on the below their knee, on one of their legs, is what they hear from. One adult person, there's about a million ants, is what they estimated. And some say it could go up as 2.5 million a person, but that it's hard to imagine that. It seems like you'd be able to, you know, see them everywhere, but a million's a whole lot to me. And you remember, I can't remember if it was in the, y'all might have to help me out on it. You remember when cloning took place with cattle and different things? What if, was that like in the late 80s, early 90s, something like it? There's female ants that can clone and make other, their babies, make them all females, just like them. And there'll be, that'll result in a colony of all females. There'll be no male ants in the colony at all. And of course, their food source is not only plants, but other animals, I mean, other insects as well. And you see them sometimes, there'll be one ant, and he'll be carrying another ant, and it'll be dead. And of course, he's carrying it back, and it might have been from another colony. They might, like I told you last week, this guy said, you take 100 black ants and 100 red ants and throw them in a jar, they won't do nothing to one another unless you shake it up, and then they'll try to kill one another. And ants also have two stomachs, one for themselves and one to carry food to share with other ants. And they say the ants can swim. They use the doggy paddle, is how they say. And of course, they can float too. After I heard this, it's sort of like, it says that the ants are slave makers. Like if they take over other colonies, they make them work for them. And I thought of the Egyptians. And I mean, the Israelites and the Egyptians when I seen that. And that's all. About all I had on the ants.
I wanted to add some things, you know. Where it talks about the preparation for its food in summer and how it's not idle but working. It even tells it in Proverbs 6, verse 6, to go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler provides her supplies in the summer and gathers the food in the harvest. Now, from what I understand, there is maybe some hierarchical or leadership. I think the idea is that they're not doing it because of them. They're doing it because this is their job that they're trying to prepare for and to work and to contribute. And so I was thinking about Colossians 3:23, where when we think about playing our role in our life and the work that we do, he says in Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when we go to our job, we do our work, whatever it is our hand finds to do, it's not because, okay, well, I want to make sure the boss sees me and I'm able to get a raise, or, you know, that everyone thinks I'm great, but rather it's because we know this is what God would have me to do, and I'm doing my part, working hard for the Lord. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 was another passage that I wanted to add in. Where it says here, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, and I might also add, and an ant. Because even an ant does that, you know, providing for his own, making sure they've stored up for the winter. That's right. So it is good advice when God says, go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise. And then one other illustration I had was at Proverbs 31, the woman at Proverbs 31. And all of the intricacies of her work and the different layers that it has, how she's helping her children, she's helping even her handmaids, she's helping her husband, and she's doing all of this, and it's not because of any kind of recognition that she's going to get, but because she knows this is where she finds her greatest satisfaction in her role, and helping the whole for the good times and even the bad. And then I have one last thought, and then I'll let others participate. I remember Adrian was here a couple weeks back, and I did my lesson on stewardship, and he was real complimentary of it, but he was saying he knew of this Christian one time that believed it was wrong to have anything stored up, anything in the account, and how he was saying how foolish that was because of so many other principles, you know, about budgeting, about preparing for emergencies that can happen, these kinds of things. Well, what are the answers they teach us that's appropriate to store up for those times when there's not going to be the supply of food or the readily available nutrients that you need? And so God is saying there's wisdom in some of this. It's not that we're, you know, living to be rich, you know, and live off of our riches. We still trust in God. But he's saying there is some blessing in looking at what they're doing and seeing there's wisdom in being prepared for the winter times of life.
What was it, the rich young ruler?
Rich young ruler.
There was, he said, I'll go and build my barns.
Oh, that was a parable that he told the rich fool. That was what he told of the people wanting to worry about the inheritance.
He was building up, but he was leaving God out of the equation.
Right.
And that's something we can't do.
Right, exactly.
And, because he's the one that has blessed us with these things. Anybody else? That's right.
Also, I've noticed with ants, if they have a little needle, like on concrete or something, you can sweep your body, and with no time at all, they're right back in, persistent. They'll come right back and really persistent with what they're doing. And that reminds me of Luke 18 about the widow that kept praying, and finally said her prayers would be answered because she was persistent with her prayers. And an ant is persistent in keeping on and keeping on no matter what comes its way.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll add one more thing to it, too. I was just thinking, we gave all the positive there about what the ant inspires us to do, but those that neglect that positive inspiration, God was actually talking to the sluggard, you know, the one that wasn't willing to work or put the effort in, and how they're going to struggle in those winter times of life. And we have known individuals like that don't have any will to work, are lazy, find excuses for excluding themselves from being productive in society. And it's not then strange that they struggle financially, you know, or always needing some kind of assistance. In a lot of ways, this is something that they have done by their own choices. Just like an ant that would choose to exclude itself from the workforce that it has been given by God's nature to do to survive, it would struggle also by itself too.
Yeah, our society is more it's sort of turned in that, you know, I'll use this guy for an example. There was a boy at work, and I think it was his first job ever, and I think he is about 18, 19, something like that. And so his dad got him home down there. And it wasn't a very hard job. And they had a list prepared for him every day. Well, he'd be off doing something, and the list was never getting done. And he said that he wanted to, you know, to better himself. And so he decided to leave. And so he went to another job, and his dad said, oh, he likes it real good there. And then I asked him maybe about a month ago, I said, how's baby doing, you know? He said, well, he quit down there, you know, and he just back home. And I said, well, as he went around, you know, put in. And he said, no, but you see it a lot nowadays, a lot more nowadays than it was when we were growing up. And, you know, their kids, they always say, well, you just wait until I get out. I get 18. It's going to be different. I'll be on my own. Well, I know one thing I found it out is a lot different. You got it real good living with mom and dad. You don't know how good you got it. But, and then when you you do turn 18, and then you start having these bills, you start having responsibilities and all. And that stuff changes fast. The older you get, it just keeps going. It don't seem like it ever. It's always something going on. And something just like the ants, you're going to have to work to keep it going. I remember yesterday I was coming home from work, and there was a traffic jam on 65. But I didn't get into it. Luckily, I know a back way out and found it. The guy that works with me said he's out to like 6 o'clock. I think I was late getting home. I was like 20 after 4, but he said he'd get home at like 6 o'clock. And here I get. I was talking to Lee, and I said, well, I'll be here while I'm in traffic. Well, the mower won't run. And I thought, here we go. We're in the traffic jam. When I get home, I got a mess of that mower. I said, we'll go in there and start the other mower. Well, I can't get it started. I said, well, imagine that. So here we go. But it's just like, it's something that's up all the time. And those things are just going to come up in life. It's just not, just like your car, it's going to tear up eventually. I think old Red's never going to tear up all the time. It might be 6-7 years before it does, but then you got to do something to it. Or, you know, if you're not having no trouble, you know. But it seems like it's always something in life, and somebody's always, we had two guys, they started taking over safety at work. Well, and that's a big thing at work now, is safety. That's what they worry about. They're not really worried about used to be putting stuff out the door. Now they're more worried about people getting hurt, which is a good thing. But they go and hire two guys, and they come down there, and they look at them, you can't have it like this, you can't have it like this. Well, it's been that way for the time I've been there, most of the stuff, and nobody got hurt. It don't even seem like people get hurt like they do. But, you know, training people takes time. And if you don't train somebody right, they can get them hurt right there, too. Even though you want them to work, you've got to put the time in to train them. And that's something that takes time, too. Is there anything else where I'm going? That's right.
One other comment. The comment that Steve made about the man and the slugger, it's been in Proverbs 6. Those first 8 chapters or so deal with wisdom. Proverbs 8:22, and this is talking about wisdom. The Lord assists me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever a time. To me, I think it makes me want to strive to get wisdom because it was there before God ever created earth. And these things that we're reading about in Proverbs was all the way back before the beginning of time. And God used those to establish the earth. Also, and I couldn't find it right off, but we're encouraged to get this risk of wisdom ahead of time. If we don't get it ahead of time, we're told that when the time comes and we need it, it won't be there. Steve might elaborate on that, but I think getting the wisdom, I mean, we're getting something that's there in creation.
Yeah, we become wiser, I think, the older we get. We need to be prepared for something that might be a health issue that comes up. It might be maybe you don't want to think about it, loss of a family member. loss of a job, different things that can affect us, and the smaller things that could affect us as well. But we need to be prepared for these things. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times I just go, you know, you just work them out as they come up. You can't prepare for everything. There's just no way you can prepare for everything.
I think it's unique that Mr. was there before. Personally, I think it's just creative. We should seek for it and have it when we need it. If we buy it and need it, we don't have it. It will be there for us.
And then we'll talk about it. And that's where you get a lot of people think that you know, they just take what they want anymore. They don't have to work for it. They just go ahead. And they either become, it seems like they don't have no regret in not working. They ever work, but they don't have no regret in asking for something. Or they don't, they'll want, you know, handouts or something like that. Or they'll just go ahead and steal what they need. And it worked, but you can go through it every day. There's a whole cabinet of stuff over here, of paint or spray or something that you might need. And instead of going and getting the one, they'll see yours, and they'll just come and take it, and they'll use it. Well, that's stealing just as much as you go out here and steal, you know, but they won't do it. You know, they'll just go behind your back.
Something else I think of when I think of that is not really the work aspect, but it's community. They work collectively. So, an example of how we work as children of God all together, a church family, to help stay strong. They all work together to get the job done instead of doing it solo or thinking they can do it on their own.
Well, you know, the squirrel, you know, I talked about them on the night. They prepare all year long, too, just like the ant does. And, of course, dogs are smart, but most of the time, they got to be taken care of. Somebody's got to feed them. Cattle the same way. After the grass quits growing, and they got to have something to eat through the winter, and they got to be taken care of. There's nothing else on my end.
I was also thinking about another in Proverbs, another thing about ants. Is it 30 in Proverbs 30? It's interesting that the ants categorized with three other small creatures. And it says there's four things that are small on the earth, and yet they're exceedingly wise, like Nancy was saying. And then it goes on to say they're not something, but they can still be wise. So it kind of like limits even us for making excuses. We're not everything. We can be small and still be wise. It says the ants are not a strong foe, but they prepare their food in the summer. The badgers are not a mighty foe, but they make their houses in rocks. The locusts, they don't have a king, yet they go out in ranks. And the lizard, you can hold it in your hands, yet it's also in king's palaces.
Yes.
With three others, the ants plus those animals.
I know locusts. I know we've all probably seen the locusts and the lizards. You see them blue-tailed lizards around the house. And y'all see them like you're at your garage around the steps. You see a blue-tailed lizard. But a badger, now, I've not had an encounter with one of them. I'd like to see one in a while. But I think probably the last. But did you ever see any in Alaska, Justin, the badger? Did y'all ever come across a badger?
They're out there, but no, I didn't see that. Uh-huh. If you need to see. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to see one. If there's nothing else, I was going to go on and Ms. Wright and Steve both talk about Proverbs 6, verse 6. And as we think about pigs, we think about what kind of animal they are. And I'll talk more on that, but you know, sin is something that the Lord hates. And also right there in Proverbs 6, there in 16 through 19, these sins aren't the only sins that we know of, but they're sins that should be avoided. And but these sins here are the most wicked things condemned by God. They deal with the heart motives of the individual. And therein, I like to read those in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. It says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." It starts off with a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. So, we see here is some of the main sin that God hates. It says there, the first one, a proud look. And I think we might have touched on some of these before, but I was going to talk about all of these before we get to the pigs. And it might be that we may be partaking in some of these sins, or it might be helpful for us to look at them to make sure we're not drawn in to these kind of things. And it says, arrogant or haughty eyes. And we know this describes a feeling of pride and looking down upon others. There in Proverbs 8:13 is a good verse. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate." So we need to be ones that hate evil. We don't need to be clinging to evil. There in Proverbs 16, verse 5, is another, "Every proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." So we see the proud will be punished in the end. It says none will go unpunished. We begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to sometimes. We see it on television, and it's more prevalent today. If you see, I'll just use the NBA as an example. These guys, one guy might have 39 one night. That same guy, you know, he's out there whooping it up and showing up. Then the next guy, next night, he might have 12 points. And what happened to the arrogance and stuff and the proud ways? And it seems like more days it takes place than it did back when the NBA was, just say, the Bird Jordan Magic era back in that time. It seemed like it's gotten more and more people wanting more and more money for doing nothing. And they're paying it. Don't get me wrong, they are paying this money to people that's not done anything in the sports world. but they're getting big money for nothing. That's something I can't wrap myself around. It'd be different if you was like Tom Brady and you out here, and yet I don't know how many do you win? 8 or 9 Super Bowls, something like that?
7.
Or somewhere in there. And a guy, the other day, they gave him a $280 million contract. 280. And so much of it's guaranteed money. And he has went to one Super Bowl. Didn't win it. He just went there. And Brady never got that kind of money. And look what he done. And that's something that, you know, that you can see going on. And a lot of times as Christians, you know, we begin to forget about Christ living in us. And now the old man, remember, he's supposed to be done away with. And sometimes we'll try to let the old man creep back in. And sometimes we might feel superior to other believers. And the sin of pride is detested by the Lord. And we may take Paul, for example. To keep him from committing this sin, what did the Lord provide for him for a small time? He provided a thorn to him in the flesh to humble him. There in 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. We know that God allows suffering so that His purpose and His goodness would be fulfilled in us. But Satan uses suffering to torment us and harass us. And he attempts to destroy us. And is anybody else want to add anything to haughty eyes or anything? As we go on to lying tongue. A lying tongue is one that speaks falsehood, knowing and willingly, with an intention to deceive others. And we know that lying can hurt others. They can hurt a brother or a sister. It can be sometimes used. And if you think about it, I think I've used this before. You know those telemarketers, when they call, you know, they'll ask you, you know, is so-and-so there? It might be you. No, hang it up. You know Miss So-and-so, she makes a good peach cobbler. Well, Miss So-and-so's cobbler is not that always delicious, but it's not that good. And I mess with Isla. Isla's sweet, so I'm going to tell you something. Makes probably one of the best peach cobblers I've ever tasted. But that I just thought I'd throw it in there. But, and sometimes we flatter people, and really we're lying to them. You know, like, you know, well, you might... might tell them, you know, they're doing a good job, and then somebody else, you might say, well, they're not that good at doing their job. And we know lying's evil to God, and we know that God is the God of truth. And we ourselves will resemble the devil more if we lie, because he's the flatterer of lies. It tells us there in John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so we've just got to look at two of them so far, and we'll start in here on hands that shed innocent blood Sunday morning, and hopefully we get through, the pigs, and after the pigs, if you want to study on them, is the lions coming up. And I'll tell you right now, the lions might take a couple of classes to get through, but it's a real beneficial study.